Hi, everyone who's listening. I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. This is Penguin Radio on 102.3, and you're listening to No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is the place where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a very gruesome topic, except I'm not going to bring in the gruesome part. I'm going to be talking about the impact of factory farming and dairy farming on the environment and how over the last 200 years it's really exploded and become a significant problem in our greenhouse gas emissions and the impact that it has on our world. So, as we all know, factory farming is where they keep hundreds of cows together very close in stalls. They are not free-range cows. They are the cows that sit in these stables all day long. They sit in their own filth, and then they're eventually slaughtered for our meat that you see in our grocery stores every day. Quoted from Mark Bittman from his TED Talk titled "What's Wrong with What We Eat," after energy production, livestock is the second highest contributor to atmosphere-altering gases. Nearly one-fifth of all greenhouse gas is generated by livestock production. That's a pretty hard-hitting fact. So, of course, our energy emissions, they create a lot of greenhouse gases, but then we have livestock. Just from their bodily functions and their manure, it produces methane that then completely harms our environment in one of the most exponential ways that humans are kind of just starting to get a grasp on the reality of it. The history of farming is a little bit complex only because it got big real quick. Starting around the 1930s, trucks and railroads and highways were starting to be introduced, so fresh food could be transported a lot easier than it could have been before. Prior to the 30s, it wasn't a thing to bring fresh food and products across the states. And before that, people would grow and eat their own foods. The only farms that really existed were local farms and small farms that had free-range cows. And of course, those types of farms, they do still exist. But now we have the much more common factory farming style that is cheaper meat and it's quote unquote an easier solution to the demand for meat in our country. Factory farms keep hundreds and hundreds of cows very close together all day long. They sit in their own filth. They do not have anywhere to walk. They eat soybeans and corn, which are not designed for their stomachs. So they're not very healthy cows. They are cows who are pretty depressed, if I say so. They don't have any life outside of these farms. They're born into the farms and immediately are forced to eat food that's not natural to their systems. Cows are meant to eat grass, and that's why you'll see on packaging grass-fed, free-range cows, cow meat. That's because those come from the farms that used to exist and still do exist. They're the cows that are able to walk around all day long. They eat their grass and eventually are taken away to be killed for meat. Of course, that's not my preference, but it is better than factory farming. And the impact on the environment is far less worse because they use their manure for fertilization instead of just letting it lay around all day producing these harmful toxins into our environment. So as Bittman stated, nearly one-fifth of all greenhouse gas is generated by livestock production. And that is directly from the methane that is produced from their manure and bodily functions. As the world got richer and richer after the 1950s, we were demanding meat more as humans. We were able to open up fast food chains which increased the demand for cow meat and other livestock meat as well. Once fast food really exploded across the states, factory farming had to be a thing, really. It was the only way that farmers could get out pounds and pounds of meat at the rate that Americans were eating it. The truth of meat is that it really does support a lot of people's diets across the world and, of course, in America as well. A lot of Americans are convinced of the fact that they need to eat meat with every single meal in order to have a healthy diet, have enough protein, and stay big and strong, just like we're told as kids growing up by all the commercials and our parents, eat your meat, you need protein, it'll help you live longer, it's good for you. Well, unfortunately, with those sayings comes the conditioning of our mindsets to believe that we need meat with everything or we will begin to become weak, fatigued, and sick. Unfortunately, with that, Americans do eat a lot of meat, so the production of meat is still very high. And it causes a lot of environmental impact because of how quickly Americans go through meat and how often factory farms need to increase their supply of cattle meat. Meat production has more than tripled over the past 50 years. Now, America produces 340 million tons of beef per year. With that production comes more cows with more methane, which then warms our environment, causes more greenhouse gases, and just does exponential damage. Another truth to these farms is that water use for factory farming leads to significant water shortages, especially in the towns where these factories really are, specifically in the middle of California. We all know driving through when there's no houses around, it's almost like who lives here type of a thing. It's the farmers who are farming these cows and the cattle and the livestock, everything. They are commuting to these farms, they're living in the farms, and their towns become short on water really quickly. There's droughts all the time in California, not only because of the heat, but because of these factory farms. The factory farming process uses about one-third of the planet's fresh water sources. So we are running out of fresh water because we use it so quickly and so fast. Agricultural farming uses an insane amount of water, and it is a direct cause of our droughts a lot of the time. If it weren't for these factory farms, we would be able to retain and hold our water for a lot longer than we actually do in reality. Not only water, but our land usage. 30% of the world's non-water land is used for livestock farming and agriculture use. So when it comes down to it, the other 70% is mostly occupied by humans. Our roads, our houses, our towns, our cities. And then the other 30% is occupied by livestock production and farms. Some of it, a very small percentage, of course, is open land. Also, another small percentage are the small local farms that treat their cows as cows and not just a source of meat. So in the next section, I will be talking more about cattle farming, specifically the dairy industry. It goes hand in hand with the meat industry. It's almost a little bit worse as well. So stick around to get informed about that. And I will see you then. Hello and welcome back, everyone. You are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. In the last segment, I talked about factory farming and the harsh truth about its impact on the environment and how it's become a thing throughout human history, packing a lot of cattle into these small stables and keeping them there until the day that they see their death. So now I'm going to go into the dairy industry. And as I said in the previous segment, the dairy industry really does go hand in hand with the meat industry. When it comes to factory farming of dairy cattle, it's pretty much the same thing. They are kept in very small stalls. They are milked over and over and over again in order to produce as much milk as they possibly can throughout their lives. And they are also reproduced at a very high rate in very gruesome ways. They get a female mother cow pregnant over and over and over again to the point where the cows that are being milked every day are not very healthy cows. They are not normal cows. They don't show signs of happy cows. They are very depressed, lonely, and they know what they're there for. These animals aren't stupid. They know that their lives are meant for one thing, and pretty much they know that they're going to be tortured their whole lives through these industries. So there are 9.3 million dairy cows in the United States, and they produce alone 120 pounds of waste per cattle per day. And that waste is manure, which I said in the previous segment produces a lot of methane into our environment and causes a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. So through these 9.3 million dairy cattle and their 120 pounds of waste per cattle per day, that's well over 1 billion pounds of waste per day just in the United States through their dairy cattle. As I said in the previous segment as well, the factory farms for meat use a bunch of fresh water. They lead to a bunch of water shortages, droughts, and the same thing goes for these dairy farms. They use an aggressive amount of fresh water. Not only are the cows drinking this water, which is of course good, cows need water to live, just like we do, but in order to produce 1 gallon of milk, it's needed to use 1,000 gallons of fresh water just to produce 1 gallon of milk. This comes from the Institute for Water Education, these facts that I'm going to be pouring out to you right now. So 1 gallon of milk needs 1,000 gallons of fresh water. So in order to produce 1 pound of cheese, it needs 10 gallons of milk. So if you put that into perspective, you need 10,000 gallons of fresh water in order to produce 1 pound of cheese. And as we all know, Americans are grown up thinking that they need to drink a lot of milk in order to have strong and healthy bones and to live a long life. We need milk. That's what we've been told our whole lives, especially while we're young. We really need to drink milk or we're going to be weak and brittle for the rest of our lives, which simply is just not the truth, especially with the data that's being done now with vegan diets, plant-based diets. A lot of people are switching their kids to plant milks right after they get off of their mother's milk. And the children, they're still healthy. They grow up to be very healthy adults. I have many friends who never, ever drank cow's milk, and they are very, very healthy. So after cheese, we have butter. In order to make 1 pound of butter, we need 21 pounds of milk. So that's even more than cheese. Butter takes a lot of milk, and it's a long process. And that is just an excessive amount of fresh water in order to produce only 1 pound of butter. Americans also use a lot of butter. We cook with butter, we put it on our toast, we bake with it. We do a lot of things with butter. It's very versatile. And the reality is that there are forms of plant-based butter that are just as good and they taste just as good as well. A lot of companies now have learned how to manipulate plant milks to taste the same as butter. One brand that's my favorite is Miyoko's. It's actually a local company from Sonoma, California. They make really, really, really delicious vegan butter that uses absolutely no animal products at all, and therefore is a very healthy alternative for our planet. Not only ourselves, but our environment does not get impacted as much through the production of vegan butter. So the United States alone uses 200 billion pounds of milk per year and 10 billion pounds of cheese, and also 2 billion pounds of butter per year. So I don't even want to say the number of freshwater usage that comes with all this production of dairy products, but it is insane. I don't even know how we have any water left, honestly. I know that's a very dramatic and exaggerated statement, but we go through water like crazy with the production of dairy and, of course, our meat industry, but dairy specifically uses a lot of water. So in order to look at the emissions, the greenhouse gas emissions of the dairy industry, we actually have to look at the servings of liquid instead of the weight of the liquid. Because when we look at the emissions of the meat industry, we are looking at the weight of the meat, but of course liquid is different, so we have to look at the servings. So 2/3 of total beef emissions come from dairy, or cattle emissions, livestock emissions come from dairy farms. But that doesn't even consider the butter and cheese aspect. That just considers milk alone. So 2/3 already on top of how much butter we make. I'm sure it's a good amount more than 2/3. So there was a John Hopkins study done that recognized if people in the United Kingdom cut out dairy entirely, so if everyone in the United Kingdom stopped eating dairy, it would reduce their carbon emissions by 85%. When I heard that number, I was shocked. I was seriously taken back because that is a huge number. If the United Kingdom alone could reduce their emissions by 85% if they just cut out dairy entirely, imagine what we could do if even just half of Americans, not completely cut it out, but just reduce their use of milk, butter, and cheese. So the dairy industry does have pretty much the same effects of the harm on the environment, except it's kind of exploded because dairy cows produce even more methane, they use even more water than the meat industry, and just by cutting out dairy, just by cutting out meat doesn't really do much if you're still eating dairy, because it still does a lot of harm to the environment, and it doesn't really help at all if you just cut out dairy out of your diet. Doesn't really help that much if you're still eating dairy, because dairy is even more harmful on our environment than the meat industry, although both are very, very bad and not good at all for our environment if we're eating milk, cheese, butter, and meat every single day with every single meal. In the next segment, I'm going to be talking about the details of the harmful effects that the meat and dairy industry have on our environment. And after that, I will be talking about how us as individuals can reduce our ecological footprint and make our lives and the Earth's life better. So stick around for that. Once again, you are listening to Penguin Radio on 102.3. My name is DJ Green, and this is No Planet B, where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have come back to No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else to go. I am your host, DJ Green, and in this segment, we are going to be talking about the direct harm on the environment of these meat farms, factory farms specifically, and dairy farms. So, as I've repeated a couple of times already, one of the most obvious impacts of these farms on the environment is the rate at which they produce greenhouse gases from the manure of these livestock animals. So there is a lot of pollution that every day goes into our air, our water, from the manure, from the factory farms. And the reason that the manure of these factory farms has such a bad impact on the environment is because they don't do anything with the manure. They usually just pile it up in places. A lot of the time it just sits in the stalls. The cows, the pigs, they sit in their own filth, and it just releases the toxins into the air and into our water supply. So the reason why small local farms, this methane production from the cows isn't really a thing, is because the manure of the cows gets fertilized at the smaller farms. They use it for better purposes. They fertilize their soil with it, and therefore it is able to be put into the environment in a way that's actually beneficial rather than harmful. So hopefully in the future, factory farms find a way to make it easier for them to produce the amount of meat that they want to and lessen the amount of methane that is going into our environment and causing these greenhouse gases to be exploded. Also, 80% of deforestation is used for clearing for cattle farming specifically, not only for the meat industry, but for dairy farming. So a lot of the time when deforestation is done, it's basically used just to clear up some land so they can put cattle in it. Also, animal agriculture gives majority of the fuel for dead zones. If you don't know what dead zones are, it's basically when too many toxins are put into a specific environment, mostly water, if the manure is eventually makes its way to a water source, like the Gulf of Mexico, it can create a dead zone where there is a huge loss of biodiversity and animals just basically stop existing there. They can't reproduce. All of their food source is taken away, and it just becomes a place that lost all of its previous animals because it's just inhabitable now. So, and that is a direct result from animal agriculture a lot of the time, which then leads to, of course, loss of biodiversity. And there's also, as I previously mentioned in the other segments, a huge loss of water at a detrimental rate to our environment. Animal products and livestock use the most amount of water for their production. Specifically, like I said, the dairy farms, they use an insane amount of water just to produce milk, cheese, and butter. Fresh water is used to, of course, give the cows what they need daily. They need to drink water. So not only is it being used for the production of these products, it is also being used to give all of these cows water, which is what they need and it should be done. But I think we could find ways to reduce our water usage in the factory farming and find ways around how much water is used for milk production, cheese production, and butter production. So other harmful things that can come from factory farms, this is specific to humans, and that we've kind of seen recently is the increase in infectious diseases from animal sources. Of course, we all know COVID-19 it came to human population through a bat, which is a little bit different than cows, but it's the same idea. A lot of diseases come from cattle farming because they give these cows, they actually give them antibiotics, and it's a crazy number. 80% of antibiotic use in the United States is actually for agricultural purposes. So when you're giving these cows all these antibiotics, the antibiotics become less and less powerful because the bacteria learns to fight off the antibiotics with time. It just grows to become resilient to them, and that eventually leads to less benefits to our antibiotics, and therefore leads to humans not being able to fight the diseases that we get from our meat. We've all seen it when meat has been recalled and nobody really knows why. Most of the time it's because there was a disease found in the meat. A lot of the time they don't even really say that. They just say, oh, Tyson has to recall these frozen chicken thighs for whatever reason, or these 200 pounds of beef patties, they're no longer usable. We have to throw them all out because they have a disease that would make humans very, very sick. So if the disease comes from the animals, obviously the humans, us as humans, would eat it, and we can't fight off the bacteria because the antibiotics have been used, so there isn't an antibiotic that we could take that wouldn't fight off the disease. It's really a lose-lose situation in a lot of cases. So the last point is that factory farms are actually really unsafe and harmful work environments for humans. The workers are always in direct contact with the harmful and dangerous air pollutants, which can then lead to them getting really bad respiratory illnesses and symptoms of lung disease, and just overall getting very, very sick a lot of the time. Not only can it affect their physical well-being, but there have been case after case of factory farm workers being diagnosed with PTSD, depression, anxiety, a lot of these mental health conditions that we don't really put together that they would come from a factory farm. That almost sounds a little bit weird. It's like, hey, you're just, you know, you're working with animals all day. I don't really see how that could be bad. But the reality is that a lot of these farmers, they see the cows, the chickens, the pigs being slaughtered every single day. And of course, with them not really physically feeling well, seeing all these things happen, knowing the harsh and gruesome reality that is factory farming, they come up with all of these mental health issues, and a lot of them don't even get to have them addressed because they don't get fair pay, and therefore they just live with these, and it's their job. It's almost like they're stuck there a lot of the time. And there have also been situations where workers have literally fallen into the manure of dairy cattle and died instantly because of how powerful the toxins were. And that has not happened once. That's happened a lot of times where people literally fall into the manure and they die instantly. And their families have to be told this information, and it's mind-blowing. Could you imagine being told that your father went to work and then didn't come back because he fell into a pile of cow manure? It's very weird, and it's honestly no way that anyone should ever go. So, of course, factory farms and the dairy farms, they do a lot of harm to our environment. Not only our environment, but directly to humans as well, the workers, and to our fresh air and fresh water sources. So in the next section, things will get lighter. I'm going to be talking about personal environmental decision making that we can do to cause our world to be better and kind of become a solution to this problem, because a lot of these corporations aren't necessarily on their way to changing. So we are the consumers, and if they notice us changing, they will probably change themselves. Once again, this is No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else to go, and I am your host, DJ Green. I'll see you in a few minutes. Hi everyone, and welcome to the last segment of this episode. I am your host, DJ Green, and you're listening to No Planet B here on Penguin Radio 102.3 or at radio.dominican.edu. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else to go. If you've made it this far, You would know that I've been talking about factory farming, the dairy industry, and the harmful impact that it has on our environment, which is kind of a lot, sadly. The good news is that as humans, we can always change the way that we've done things, and nothing is set in stone. So for this last segment, I'm going to be talking about personal decisions that we can make as individuals in order to better our ecological footprint. And I ended the last segment with very quickly talking about how we are the consumers and what we buy is what tells the big corporations what to produce. So, let food be thy medicine. We all know what Hippocrates was saying with that. When we eat real food, we feel really good. We are happy, we are healthy, and we thrive. When we don't eat real food, when we eat food that has toxic elements to it, a lot of preservatives, basically food that's been through a lot of production processes, we find ourselves having a lot of health issues, a lot of lifestyle diseases like diabetes, heart disease, strokes, and even some cancers. And those diseases are a lot more prevalent here in America than the rest of the world. Scientists and nutritionists have said that that is a direct result of a Western diet. The Western diet, of course, includes a lot of dairy products and a lot of meat products. The USDA's food pyramid has it recommended to have 2 to 3 servings of dairy and meat per day. That's a significant amount. My own viewpoint on this is very to the point. I actually personally do not eat meat. I do not eat dairy. I stay away from it. If I accidentally do eat it, I usually have a stomach ache and I don't feel good for actually a couple of days. And what I kind of suggest to people who maybe will come to me with health issues, health concerns, I try to tell them, you know what? Try to eat more plants. Try to just have a big heaping of vegetables and see how you feel after. Eat more beans, eat more fiber, have stuff that's going to fuel your body rather than have you feeling lethargic and drained. That's mainly why I changed my diet. It was because I knew what I was eating was not making me feel good. But the most important thing that I recognized when I was trying to get educated on plant-based lifestyles, I realized that what we eat actually is really not good for our environment, especially at the rate that Americans eat it, like dairy and meat from majority of livestock animals. So I would consider for everyone to think that meat is a luxury. Try to change your mindset. Changing the way we eat has the most drastic positive impact on our individual ecological footprint. If we change the way we eat, that's the best way basically to have a better impact on the environment rather than a worse one. My first suggestion would be to reduce the amount of meat that you consume daily and or throughout the week. As a lot of people would say, especially growing up, as I've said before, we were told that meat was good for us, that we needed the protein, and that meat was the only way to get it. We were also told that milk and cheese is good for our bones. The calcium is needed in order for us to stay big and strong and to grow tall and to stay healthy throughout our whole lives. Well, the truth is that most of those sayings come from corporations who want you to buy these products because they are the one getting the money from the products. So, on the other hand, if, as humans, we were to eat less meat and dairy, that causes us to buy less meat and dairy. Therefore, leading to these large corporations noticing that and maybe switching to plant-based alternatives. So, of course, I'm never one to advocate for someone to completely cut out meat or dairy. If that's something that you love, you don't have to suffer, of course. But doing your part and just incorporating more plants, more fruits, more plant milks into your diet would really change the rate at which we see these greenhouse gas emissions being produced into our environment. And of course, protein is a huge argument. But in reality, humans actually lack fiber the most. We don't, in America specifically, doctors never really see someone lacking protein. They see people lacking fiber. Fiber comes from plants. And the bigger reality is that protein is also initially made by plants. Animals can't make protein themselves. They make the protein. They have so much protein because that's constantly what they eat. Free-range cows eat grass. Grass is the one initially making the protein. And even factory farm cows, they eat the soybean and corn, which have protein. So protein isn't even made by these animals. It's originally made by plants. So a lot of plants have protein, and very high amounts of protein, in fact. If you're eating plants more, you are getting more essential nutrients and you are fueling your body in ways that can't really be fueled by meat or dairy. There are a lot of ways that we can also get protein through plants that aren't directly vegetables. Like, a lot of companies now are introducing plant-based sources of meat that are way better for the environment. They cause way less harm and reduce our impact on planet Earth, not by just these greenhouse gases, but through water usage and to just better the environment in general. So, there's a quote from the authors of a 2018 scientific article that's titled Reducing Food's Environmental Impacts Through Producers and Consumers. And it's written by Jay Poore and T. Nemec. It's a quote that really stood out to me, and it's this. A vegan diet is probably the single biggest way to reduce your impact of planet Earth, not just greenhouse gases, but global acidification, eutrophication, land use, and water use. So right there, that says that even just by incorporating more and more plants and less animal sources and products in our diet, we can directly influence all of these negative things happening to our environment to kind of go away, or at least be reduced significantly. The good news is that human culture is really starting to shift in America specifically, where people are paying more attention to what they're consuming, they're buying less meat, they're buying less dairy products, and corporations are kind of starting to recognize that. Like, a lot of fast food chains are starting to introduce plant-based burger options, and Starbucks and Peet's, those kind of companies, they include plant milks, and they're introducing breakfast sandwiches that don't have any animal sources in them at all. A lot of really good things are happening in America, but that's because the amount of Americans who are starting to get frustrated with their physical illness and mental illness caused by the foods they eat is causing these companies to change. So if I haven't convinced you enough, there are a lot of educational videos on this topic. A lot of documentaries have been done on the good of a plant-based diet or a vegan lifestyle. So thank you for listening, and I'm really glad you tuned in today. Once again, this is No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio or radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision-making because we have nowhere else to go. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world.